It's episode 19 of the TV Dudes, recorded February 11th, 2015. Zombies, Nazis, and lawyers.
Nazis dig us? I don't know if I like that.
That's no way to start a show.
Oh, I didn't know you started. I did not know you started recording.
Nazis like us.
Oh my gosh.
So we have a ton of shows right now, guys.
Yeah, we were talking before this recording about how full the DVRs are. They're full. Mm-hmm. They're full to bursting.
Yes.
Getting a little hefty.
So
need to lose a little weight on the DVR.
Yeah.
I'm about to put my bandwidth? DVR on a diet.
Yeah.
Possibly cut out the Modern Family.
Really?
Thinking about it. Not liking the season. It's not doing it.
I would agree with you. It's kind of sad, but in one way, we kind of felt it last year because it hits the same beats. They do it so well, and there's only so many combinations they can have, and it's always odd, and I think it's difficult for TV when you have kids a certain age who maybe aren't great actors, where they start growing up and they're not good enough to write characters around, or, and this is terrible to say, but who's the middle dumpy child?
Alex. Yeah.
Who's like really busting out of the seams. I mean, she's like coming.
She's
like,
not a kid anymore.
She's definitely not a child anymore. You're like,
and that's the thing is they managed
she looks more like Sofia Vergara now than her older sister.
They managed
does.
To send Haley off to college and then get her ready. This is a weird diversion.
Sorry.
All I'm saying is Modern Family is about to make in any other time.
Right.
I'd probably hang on to it, but. Time to put the DVR on a diet. You got to look at what needs to be cut out.
And it's so weird because you love Big Bang Theory and you keep that on your DVR and you have like 80 episodes on there.
I will murder you.
All right, guys. So this week we are talking about a ton of different new shows that popped up, including Man the High Castle. We got some Walking Dead returning, Better Call Saul. I think we're going to maybe hit on some of the new HBO shows or the returning ones, John Oliver. And
yeah, John Oliver.
A little bit. But once again, before we get into all of that, we go through our listener questions and our iTunes shout outs. We're going to start with iTunes shout outs. So these people went on to the iTunes store, gave us a 5-star rating, and wrote us a review. We didn't get any USA ones.
That's okay.
Week.
We're international.
Yeah. That's right. We're international, baby.
But we got some international ones for the past few weeks, and it's harder to check those, but I'm able to check them every couple weeks. You know?
Uh-huh.
So that's why I didn't get to you guys yet. But thank you, guys. Here's our first one. Comes from Fish Trombone out of Sweden.
Oh, fish trombones are huge in Sweden.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, it's a big thing.
What is it?
It's like a trombone, but it's like a fish.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. You called my bluff, Greg.
I gotta say, I didn't walk into that one. I kind of saw that one.
It says, awesome podcast. Everything you need to know about TV in one podcast. The hosts have great personalities. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the mix of serious discussion and humor makes this podcast a delight to listen to. Keep up the great work, guys. Fish Trombone from Sweden.
Nice. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next one comes from Canada. This is from Javier Mancia. Says, never gets old. It's simple, really. I never get tired of hearing you guys dissect and review these shows. I value your opinion, and it's because of you and the brilliant old Leog shows that my tastes in good TV have expanded exponentially. Also, I want to give a shout out to your unofficial brother and sister sites, One of Us and Double Toasted. If you like the TV Dudes, you'll undoubtedly very much enjoy those as well. Thank you, and keep it coming, guys.
That's funny they say that, because I really thought we got old a long time ago.
We're ancient. We're terrible.
We are old.
Yeah. Good little shout out to those sites. Yeah, go check them out as well.
Yep.
Next one comes from Cud2K1. Out of the UK.
Hey.
Says, TV Dudes are awesome. Who needs the water cooler when you have the TV Dudes? If you want insightful and in-depth knowledge on what's good on TV, these are the boys to turn to. I currently have a board in my room with strings attached to pictures of milk and TV. And I'm going to crack this case. It's like, we're just getting a different review. And then there's the milk and strings.
I do want to say to our listeners, the TV Dudes are not a substitute for water. Please drink water from the water cooler.
Yes, please.
Oh, you're in the pocket of big water, I see.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yep. Oh, yep. No, now it's a water conspiracy.
And our last one comes from Avenger 521, also out of the UK. It says, a truly great podcast. This podcast helps as I don't have time to keep up with news and TV shows. On top of that, the podcast is truly entertaining and generally enjoyable.
Generally.
Mostly.
In general.
Yeah. Mostly.
Occasionally we go into some milk stuff. And yeah. Like, I don't know about that.
Well, then you can fast forward that.
Thank you guys for the shout outs and the iTunes ratings. Please, everyone else, go do that. It really, really helps us out. It's getting us more exposure, and we're making that fat podcast money now.
Yes, that whole
for what?
We are living fat.
Oh, maybe I am.
Is that why you rolled up in a Rolls Royce?
That's why.
I was wondering why you got that.
Yeah, if we made money, that'd be nice. All right, let's roll over to our questions. So if you guys like us on Facebook or on Twitter, we put up our little shout out for questions, and you guys can be one of those to ask us something. First one comes from Marvin A. Lanier. He says, TV Dudes, have you checked out Battle Creek's trailer? And what do you make of it? For me, it looked like a long-form narrative dressed up in a procedural comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I haven't checked out the trailer. Honestly, I know that Vince Gilligan originated this.
Right.
But it seems so much like thing that he's not involved in. And it's a CBS show that I had sort of already written it off.
Who's it? Josh? Who's
Duhamel?
Duhamel, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, when I hear his, he's a terrible actor. Poor man. He's like a poor man's version of like
justified dude
of Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah, it's
poor man. I mean, he just so when I saw him, I'm
get
like,
it. He's poor, right?
Yeah. He's a terrible actor.
Destitute.
He's like the worst. One of the worst parts of those stupid Transformer movies. And that's saying something.
That is.
That's how much I can't stand is acting. He's like, you know what? He's like the Katherine Heigl.
He made Megan Fox look good.
Yeah. You know what? He did. He's like Katherine Heigl of movies, man. I can't deal with him. So when I see that, I'm like, I don't care if David Simon put him in the show. I'm not watching it.
That's not true.
I'm not. No.
If David Simon put him in a show, you'd watch it.
Yeah, maybe.
There's no one David Simon could put a show that you wouldn't watch.
You would watch it.
Lena Dunham.
Simon's girls, you'd watch it. I know you'd watch it.
Yeah, well, because it'd have black girls. It would have a racial component that she seems to forget about New York City.
So unfortunately,
anyway,
the answer is
no.
We
we're not watching it.
Seen it yet? And yeah. Apparently, we should check it out.
That was really? Quite a digression, just to say that. But yeah. I agree with what Randy was kind of expressing earlier. From what I understand, this was a draft of a script that he wrote before Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Broke big.
Mm-hmm.
I hate myself. Yeah. But nonetheless, I guess it was kind of just one of those that they already owned.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, we're going to make this with your name attached to it. We're going to give you money.
And he was like, money? So, I like money.
So this is happening. You can be a part of it or not. But I think he's just kind of allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
I don't see his stamp on it.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's good. It's good for him. Keeps his name out there, though.
Speaking of him, though, we're going to talk about Better Call Saul in a little bit.
Yeah.
Including the first two.
The only thing it made me think of is there's a couple.
Battle Creek?
Yeah, but there's those new, a bunch of network, when we were talking about like TV just exploding, there's a bunch of network TV shows that look mildly interesting. That like that was one of them, and then The Slap, and then the other one, American Crime.
American Crime will probably make the cut for me.
Yeah,
in general, network. I'm like,
yeah.
you gotta be extra good to get my attention right now.
Yeah, because even those two, don't they have like movie American Slap? I mean, American Crime
has John Ridley.
Right. I thought The Slap did too.
Slap has someone.
Yeah. Anyway, never
mind.
It's
got a great cast, but right. Yeah, no, it's definitely the threshold is higher right mm-hmm. now, and Battle Creek doesn't quite look like it's gonna clear it.
Yeah. All right, next question comes from, our very own writer on the site, Charles Armstrong.
Who, hey!
We posted, as of the recording, we just posted one of his great articles about 10 comic books that should be on TV right now. So you guys should check that out. He says, is there a show on right now that you're enjoying, but doubt it would be able to keep up its current level of quality?
That is a good question.
Something that surprisingly started strong. I mean, we were just talking about Modern Family and how that's dipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But that's not a surprise.
Just because it's getting a little bit tired.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen eventually. I'm trying to think of anything new that I haven't added a lot of new shows.
What do you think new? I mean, you have the newest show, probably the best new show, quote unquote, probably Togetherness of any show that's new to me.
And I don't see Togetherness dropping off anymore.
No, I mean, that or like if you're talking about something even like season 3 of Americans, which is killing it, and that's not new, but it's newer than like Mad Men or any other classic
Americans
shows.
Americans is an interesting one for me. I find it less and less interesting as I keep watching.
It's the craziest thing.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, maybe?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and it's not going anywhere. It's still funny, and I don't know.
The weird thing is, this is probably because there hasn't been a lot of new TV that's grabbed me, but like it's all like sophomore season stuff, like True Detective and Fargo, and I have no reason to believe that's going to be in any way disappointing.
Right.
What do you think of The Flash since it picked back up?
I think it's not as strong as it was, I think it's still good. And I thought last week's episode was really good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not fully caught up, but from what I've been watching, I was like, it seems a little weaker.
Lost a little bit.
Yeah. I wonder if it's losing a little bit of that mojo now that they have to kind of keep it running rather than what they might have already had scripted out initially.
I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, getting that. We're used to it. We know all its tricks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to wait till the big reveals and stuff start happening, which I think are going to happen pretty soon.
The three-quarter slump. Yeah. Once again, that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Aces, back to the races, I guess. Aces, back to the races. I hate myself.
What are you doing, man? You're like an old-timey radio guy now. When Breaking Bad broke good or broke big, I mean, it's great.
It's not great. Last question, and then I'm going to go, I don't know, shut up for a while. Whiskey Wolf says, TV Dudes, what were your thoughts on the Daredevil teaser? What are your hopes for that show as part of the overall MCU? Which we're going to talk about in the news.
Yeah, there was a bit of Daredevil news that came out that I think is interesting. So.
Yeah.
Do you want to just go to news?
Yeah, that's a good segue.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump into the news.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Daredevil, there's two bits. First of all, the trailer, the little teaser trailer came up.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they announced that, they didn't announce, but it showed up. It's going to be TVMA.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I am less excited about this.
Whoa, that's interesting.
But it's
why.
Daredevil.
Daredevil doesn't need to be TVMA. I mean, here's the thing. I think it's going to be good. But it seems like TVMA, they're definitely going more the Frank Miller route. They're going to go the super violent one. And I've liked the sort of TV-14 vibe that Marvel has had pretty much throughout, from the movies to Agent Carter to S.H.I.E.L.D. And including
Ghost Rider?
That doesn't count.
Oh, those don't...
Marvel Cinematic.
Oh, man.
Marvel Cinematic.
Those aren't part of the universe?
Ghost Rider was rated R, sir.
Yeah.
It was.
So you're saying that this could be as good as Ghost Rider?
Oof. Oh,
boom! Lawyered. No, don't hold me to it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, I don't get me wrong. I am not in any way saying I'm disappointed. I've got a plan to do a marathon with friends the day this drops. I am very excited about it. But so far, it looks very much sort of to be a crime procedural. I mean, he's got the costume. It's like the black costume that he had in only one story in the comics.
Yeah, it's probably a slow build origin story, and he's probably going to build up to wearing the costume we're used to.
I don't know if he will. I'm wondering if they're even going to bring out the red costume.
I mean, Marvel likes to give the fan service.
Yeah.
And I don't imagine them avoiding it forever. I would think since it's a television series that they're going to take their time before they get to it, similar to like Arrow or something.
Maybe, and we may not see in the first season.
Yeah.
I mean, if it may be that that's the end of the first season. They could do a very sort of long year one style buildup, and I'm okay with that. Honestly, I have a lot of faith in this creative team, but seeing a TVMA was not like, it wasn't like, oh, bummer news for me, but it was like, it was not exciting.
Man, it's I'm so the opposite because I feel like we've gotten so much of that other tone. We've seen what they can do there.
Yeah.
I want to see what Marvel does when they want to try and be a little bit heavier and darker and and have a bit more grit and adult material.
You and I have always been different on what we like in TV movies. Like, you like the slightly more realistic. You like The Dark Knight way more than I do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We sort of want everything. So this is probably going to be more like what Nolan did, and I'm not sure that's what I want. That said... I do think it's interesting, and one of the guys I work with at the comic shop said it's sort of like Netflix is their Marvel Max line. It's like they're going to do all the immature readers stuff there, and Alias was in Marvel Max, a.k.a. Jessica Jones. That was a Marvel Max book. You know, Power Man they did in Marvel Max at one point. Iron Fist, you can definitely see it in the current one. It's not the tone I want, but I can see if that's what they're trying to do. Like, this is going to be their gritty street-level stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. It's a worrisome sign for me, not an exciting sign for me, but I'm still very much looking forward to it. And what do you think of the teaser?
I mean, it's a teaser, so it's There's not a whole lot to go off of.
Yeah.
But I thought it did a lot better than a lot of teasers I've been seeing online lately.
Yeah.
I think you get a sense for the world. You kind of see little glimpses, and it makes you want more.
Yeah.
I wanted definitely to see the front of Wilson Fisk, even though I know what the actor looks like.
Yeah, but it's a great shot of Vincent D'Onofrio. You're like, okay, I think I can see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
What did you think of what little we saw of how they do his senses?
What did we see?
It's just sort of a weird sound effect, it seems like, that they're doing. They're not doing the crazy like infrared like they do in the comics, which is kind of too bad.
Yeah.
But I guess that might have been a post-production issue. Maybe they are going to do it and they're just not showing it.
Right. Could be. But that might be more of what they're kind of holding off on. I also really appreciate the storyline and his internal struggle. Like, his confessional, his religious conflict, I guess, that he kind of goes through with this. And I like them addressing that. It'll be an interesting different side, I think, of a character.
I wonder how much we've seen. I wonder if all that's in the first episode, basically.
Hmm. It might
well
be.
And it probably is. It's so early on.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm excited to watch it. And we're only a couple months away.
I imagine we'll get the trailer in another month or so.
Probably so.
To April?
Yeah, it's due in April. Okay. April 10th. Yeah.
Hey, while we're on this, can we address the other big Marvel news?
Oh, you mean I have nothing.
What are you going to say?
I got nothing. I'm sorry. Wow. It's Spider-Man.
The werewolf again is going to be a werewolf.
Oh, no. Why did you bring that?
Werewolf by Night.
So Spider-Man is going to get to dip his toe into the MCU.
Yep.
And I saw your post on Facebook.
So wait.
You're kind of a little bit on.
I am a guy who's always thought that having Spider-Man and the X-Men taken away from them force them to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, if they had Spidey and the X-Men, we would never have gotten a Guardians movie. Or at the very least, we wouldn't have had it for another 5 years.
Right.
But they had to dig a little deeper and do a little creative storytelling. And as a result, some of these B and C-list characters get pushed up to the forefront, and we get to see some really interesting things. And I think that with Spider-Man back in the holster, that means we already know they're pushing Black Panther and they're pushing Inhuman out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that worries me more than anything else. The other thing is,
I think you're going to backslide a little into lower quality.
I don't think lower quality. I just think that Spider-Man becomes a priority the second he goes into Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, Sony's still involved. And that makes me really nervous. Like, it is still, people are taking this very optimistically, I think. Like, oh no, we're going to get Miles Morales, or it's going to be a completely new Spider-Man, and the Kevin Feige is really in charge. And I'm like, no. It says that Amy Pascal of Sony is one of the big producers.
Well,
thing.
Well, she just left Sony.
She left Sony, but she's still a producing. Now.
Yeah, she got a sweet golden parachute. I feel it's a pretty good move.
Yeah, she got a sweet-ass golden parachute.
Yeah, you're right. You guys right.
So this is, I mean, I think that's going to be her big thing, is she wants this to do well so she can cut as a producer.
Right.
So it's still a lot of the same people, which makes me nervous.
Yeah. I feel like having Marvel invested.
Yeah.
Means that they're going to have to try harder for what they do. There's going to be a level of oversight and a background knowledge of the characters and the universe and what actually works.
Yeah.
That I hope is properly applied to. I mean, let's be honest. Spider-Man is Marvel's baby.
That's true.
And they have somewhat reclaimed him back, and I don't think they're going to allow his reputation to be kind of jeopardized and tarnished again in, with Sony.
I agree. I do think that the upshot is this could be really good. Like having, I would certainly, as a big Spider-Man fan, mm-hmm. I would love to have a good Spider-Man movie. I haven't had one yet that I really like.
Exactly. Me neither.
Neither have I. I mean, I was one of the only comics I was kind of into a little bit when I was younger was Spider-Man. And yeah. And I just, what I can't, I'm just trying to visualize in my head the tone of the movies and just how that's going to, like, really how they're going to...
Well, if you're familiar with the storyline that they're going to drop him into, I can see where they're going with Civil War.
I'm not, yeah.
One of the best storylines ever, right?
Oh, you know, I hate Civil War.
I know you
hate it. I also, the thing is...
I liked it.
I'm actually okay with Civil War as a... I was talking about this a little bit today, too.
Yeah.
That Civil War, at its heart, is just Captain America versus Iron Man. And I'm fine with that. It's more—it's a Captain America movie. It's going to be more Cap versus Iron Man. That could be interesting, especially because they'll do it differently. My problem was with the execution of Civil War, not with the existence of it.
Mm.
But Civil War in the comics didn't really make sense in the Marvel Universe, and I thought what they did with Spider-Man was completely wrong-headed. And
yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that, because, spoilers for Civil War the comic, which is 15 years old or something now, Spider-Man reveals his identity publicly, and that's the big deal. That's what's one of the big deals of it. They can't do that in the movie. They can't introduce him and then have revealed
him. They absolutely can't if they want to keep going, unless they're going to introduce like Mephisto or have a maybe Doctor Strange be able to erase everyone's memory.
And
it
won't have the impact. The reason it had the impact was because Spider-Man is a superhero that everybody knew.
Yeah.
You can't just drop him in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and say, hey, Spider-Man, this is who he is. It doesn't work.
But I would imagine he would still be a figure piece for the will he, won't he reveal his identity.
Sure.
And they probably would just keep it on the opposite side then.
Yeah. We'll see. I think that it won't be as big of a piece as people are. They're not going to make Civil War like the comic bunch. Mm-hmm. They can't.
Yeah. They're going to have to
definitely
adjust.
It's going to be very different.
Which is good.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I love it. If the announcement was Marvel has gotten Spider-Man back, that would make me happy.
Sure.
100%.
But
back,
the announcement that Sony's going to make another Spider-Man movie, and that Marvel's going to have... Basically, if Sony keeps fucking up Spider-Man, and then that Spider-Man sort of infects the Marvel Universe, that's a bad thing.
But on the flip side.
Yeah.
On the flip side, think about this. If it turns out successful.
Yeah.
And if it turns out successful on the heels of Fantastic Four bombing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a chance that Fox would be like, hey, you know what? If you guys cut us in on the profits, we would like some of that sweet Marvel money-making machine.
I would love that to be possible.
And we'll lease it back out to you.
I don't know how possible it is. I don't know all the politics involved.
Can you imagine they get the Fantastic Four back before they do Guardians or the Infinity stuff?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this could easily be a good thing.
This is amazing. I mean, it is, because you think you have Marvel Comics and they have all these franchises that are like just splintered.
Yeah.
You have X-Men, you've got Spider-Man, and you've got their stuff with the Avengers.
Yeah.
If they were able to get them all, it reminds me like if when Paul McCartney tried to get own all his songs back, all the Beatles songs back, you know, and then so you have like the creator really having their hands on all this, and I wonder if Marvel would ever get in. This is just I'm just thinking, like, would Marvel ever get into just making a movie first without having it based on one of their properties? Do you think they would ever get into
that? They could.
I mean, it's possible, but then they would have to have a character that breaks out in the movie so big
that
it's something that they could make a movie of. I don't think they would.
Well, closest they've come is Agent Coulson,
and he
spinning off with S.H.I.E.L.D., but they just kind of dropped him within that other world already.
Yeah.
No, I think what's more likely is that the movie versions will, and the TV versions will have an impact on how they're portrayed in the comics.
Oh, okay.
But I know. The thing is, this is very much a glass half full, glass half empty kind of person thing. If you're optimistic, there's all kinds of things good that can happen.
I'm always an optimist.
If you're pessimistic, there's all kinds of things that go wrong, and I'm usually a pessimist. Usually, yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. What else we got?
All right, so elsewhere in the news, Mark Webb, speaking of Spider-Man, is directing the Limitless pilot.
Ooh.
So Limitless was a show or a movie I really liked.
I liked it. It was Bradley Cooper and De Niro, right?
Yeah.
I think it was really good.
It's a CBS series. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Oh, CBS.
Man.
The pilot has been apparently been picked up for shooting, at least, because if they attach Webb to it.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't have much details. It's written, executive produced by Craig Sweeney. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, because we don't even see who's going to be starring in it yet.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Brian Sinclair, I guess that's the lead character, discovers the power of the mysterious drug NZT and is coerced into using his newfound drug enhanced abilities to solve weekly cases for the FBI.
Oh, stop. Done. They already do that, like Perception, also, you know, also, on TNT or whatever.
NZT, side effect you don't really know a lot about.
What?
Become a werewolf.
Okay, I'm in into werewolf.
Every week he's like he's completely puzzled. He can't figure it out, and then werewolf instincts solve the crime.
Of course, if it's on CBS, it has to have that procedural episodic hook.
Yeah. So that's mm-hmm. just sad.
And he's once again another investigator of crimes. That's all they have.
Yeah.
Persons of interest.
Yeah.
Stalker.
I mean, make him
CSI. Of them.
I mean, the thing is, you could do a procedural version of Limitless where you show his sort of rise to power as like a, you know, in the world of finance, and you know, you could even have things where he gets involved with criminals. But don't make him a crime solver. That's a waste of a good premise.
It's lazy.
Stupid. It is very CBS. Lazy,
man. So, I was interested until you pointed that out.
Yep, that pretty much ruined it for me. Netflix has announced another live-action series.
Yeah. Ooh,
Legend of Zelda.
Hmm.
Remember how we had that video game episode a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
We never came up with Legend of Zelda.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
And I was kind of like, man, I wish there was like more shows that were popping up. But we were saying, I'm sure we'll see it in the next 5 years. Boom.
Yeah.
Right.
So this could be a very big one. They're still seeking a writer to work on the series. And the big question I've seen asked is that Link in the games doesn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do a show, he's got to talk, right?
Yeah.
So,
but will he talk with a boy's voice?
Or with a man's voice?
Well, it says a Netflix spokesman declined to comment.
And then, oh, just like Zelda. Or just like Link.
Just like Link.
No comment.
Then there is science is working against us.
Oh, yeah.
And this is such a clickbait headline. / yeah. Film. Science says binge watching is for sad, lonely people. Randy says science can go fuck itself.
Wait, what kind of science are they talking about?
This is a UT study right here in our hometown.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Surveyed
whatever.
316 people between the age of 18 and 29. It's a pretty good sample.
Yeah.
Asking about their psychological states, e.g., how often do you feel alone, and their TV watching habits. For the purpose of the study, binge watching was defined as watching 3 or more TV episodes at a time, or what I call every night.
Yeah.
You're so sad and lonely, Randy. So
they said that 75% of respondents admitted to doing it, admitted to binging, but they also said that they found that those who were lonely or depressed were more likely to binge watch, perhaps as a way to escape. Those with a lower capacity for self-regulation also tended to binge watch, even when they had other things to do.
Isn't that just kind of easy, though? It's like, hey, if you have time to kill,
you're sick. Say you're at home sick with the flu. You're gonna watch TV, you know, or your kid's sick with the flu. You're gonna watch TV.
The other thing,
the weather is shitty outside. You're gonna sit and watch TV. I mean, this is ridiculous.
The thing about this survey is they say that the people who came up with the survey, they theorized that since behaviors like binge eating and binge drinking were tied to loneliness and depression, that binge watching might be too.
It's ridiculous.
It's not the same thing.
It's a flawed study because the whole premise of it is flawed because the thing is. You can argue this, but if you're going to binge watch like House of Cards, okay, that's not going to turn in, it shouldn't normally, if you're like a, you know, reasonable person, turn you into a homicidal maniac who's going to run for president one day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where binge eating or binge drinking will actually do a lot of physical damage to yourself, you know? And you know that going in.
Yeah.
So, and there's just so many, so none of these people watch with other people, I just think it's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Half the time, binge watching is done as a group activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, let's take a look here. This survey, I mean, yes, they did have 316 people, But these are 316 people had time to talk about their TV watching habits. I don't have time to talk about my TV watching habits. I'm watching TV.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have time to talk about TV. Huh? I'm not gonna go. If only you could find the time to talk about TV.
To researchers.
Gotcha. That makes a little bit more sense.
That was
sense.
Funny.
Jeez, you do this weekly. Don't lie to us.
That was good.
An interesting thing, though, about that survey, the 316 people they were able to, and bear in mind, these are mainly college people.
Yeah.
Be who they're able who to
are depressed, who are depressed anyway because they got college loans and then they're going to pay off.
So also with a grain of salt, their statistics. I listened to a great episode of Radiolab this week. It's called The Trust Engineers. It's their most recent one. And what it is talking about Facebook and that whole incident where they got in trouble for looking at, invading people's privacy and kind of messing with them psychologically like with how they would see if people are happier and sadder based on the way out. Anyway, they were talking about how they were kind of doing all these different tests, and this is before they kind of got busted for it.
Yeah.
But they were doing all sorts of tests to kind of like figure out what is the best phrasing for this and that and like where they get best response. And they were saying, because they brought in some people from like Berkeley and some other places, and they're like, the kind of sample size that you usually is a decent enough one in a university study. It's like, oh, you got 30 people, 40 people.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're getting like tens of thousands, like hundreds of thousands of people instantly.
Yeah.
Because everyone is using Facebook. Well, and they're able to just like mine data and like figure out like how like social elements work.
And that's why when people complain about the government, I'm like, the government is behind Google and Facebook and AT&T. So, okay, now if you're saying bad shit and they want to come and drop a drone on your ass, that's a little bit different. But as far as like, Amazon can do that. But as far as
a package of cookies out
of cookies or bombs. But it's like, So people go on Facebook to complain about the government following them. Like, you're a moron.
Yeah.
You willingly give your credit card to these people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just,
you know, actually, Eugene Merman, one of the voices on Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He has a comedy bit about he put up ads on Facebook.
Yeah.
And to sort of target. Facebook has very specific targeting.
Oh, yeah.
And he did these crazy ads to target to all these people. And it's really a funny bit listening to how much data Facebook has on their
on our Facebook page or my personal ones too. It's like I look and they have all these tools that are like free. I mean, you can pay for a bunch of stuff too, but there's a lot of these free tools that like, and I worked in like advertising.
You've seen the other side.
And I've seen the other side and did all the data, and before it was difficult when you're trying to do like a survey of somebody to get to pinpoint opinions for advertising. Now it's crazy because almost anybody can do it. And Google really, I mean, that's why Google is worth billions and billions of dollars, you know? It's fascinating. So I don't know. Just don't say stupid shit on Facebook.
Tangent. But I thought
it was excellent.
No, it's good because it reminds us that it's good to have someone out there looking into the the corporations and the government that are
holding their feet to the fire,
making them accountable.
Right.
Which reminds me, did you guys hear about the Daily Show?
What about it?
Jon Stewart's leaving the Daily Show.
Yep.
Yeah. My heart cries. I'm still in shock.
I think he's going on top. But he's got other things he wants to do.
Oh no, it's great for him, but it sucks for everyone else.
I feel like he has already left a legacy and set us up with people that are even doing better than what he was doing.
Who's going to step up?
John
Oliver isn't the Daily Show though. It's once a week. But John Oliver is a good additive to the Daily Show. He's not a replacement.
Well, I actually just read something very interesting.
Mo Rocca? I
don't know.
No. Can't come back.
See, the thing is, like, the thing that really hit me was when someone mentioned that we're now going to have a presidential election next year with no Jon Stewart.
Yeah,
that is depressing as hell.
I mean, we saw when he released Rosewater that obviously he was kind of trying to test other boundaries, see other things he wanted to do. I think he liked doing other things. And
I know, but I didn't see Rosewater.
17. Right. I didn't either.
I don't care.
I don't know if that matters.
I want the Daily Show.
Well, it's funny because I just on my favorite news website is Vox.com. Mm-hmm. It's just it's by Matthew Iglesias, who
Enrique's brother. Yeah.
No.
Sure.
Gabriel.
Actually,
Enrique's
I might be saying
brother.
His name wrong, but he came from the Washington Post, and there's a critique on John Stewart that I thought was interesting, like basically saying like the one thing that you could kind of critique him on is that he brings up, like I said on my Facebook post, that he's the one guy that calls bullshit when it's literally bullshit, which is great, but he doesn't necessarily offer any solutions. He just calls stuff out.
No, but
you know?
That's important.
It is important.
Since nobody in the fucking media seems interested in doing it.
But I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that critique. I don't think his job is not the right policy.
Yeah.
So his job is to bring up bullshit. You know?
Always felt like he has such a powerful voice that was maybe a little bit held back by the fact that he still had that crutch of this is a comedy show.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe him being outside of that, I think... I always thought he's more interesting when he goes on Bill O'Reilly or Crossfire and just tears into people.
See, I think the comedy is what keeps people coming back. You can be exposed to things you would otherwise not look, you just look away from.
Yeah.
Because it's funny and it's welcoming. And it's I think the comedy is an important edge.
But I think it's tiring too. And you know, what if he ran for
sentence.
I know, sorry.
I can't begrudge
like eight
I can't I begrudge John Stewart.
Maybe he wants to run for politics.
Somebody said maybe he's leaving the Daily Show to run for president. I'm like, that is the only situation in which
ran for senator in New York or something, ran for a congressman. I don't know.
He's not gonna do that. John Stewart wants nothing to do with politics.
If Al Franken could,
I don't think John Stewart wants to.
I don't know. You never know.
He's always given every indication that there's
like
you'd
want to deal with those people.
Yeah, he wants nothing to do with that.
I don't know. I'm sad. It's the end of an era.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to replace him.
I actually think they should just do something else. I mean,
Bring
Craig Kilborn in.
You know what? That'd be hilarious.
Been a lot of people speculating. On possible replacements, people said that Jessica Williams could step up. I think she's too young. I don't think she's there yet.
No,
I like her. I just don't think she's right on the show.
Put
Jason Jones in.
Jason Jones and Samantha Bee co-hosting.
No,
seemed like a good idea, but then they did that guest shot. Now with little warning, to be fair, it was like a short notice thing. But they were not great leading the show.
I don't want to see them either.
People suggested the one I like is Aisha Tyler.
I saw that. Aisha Tyler, and
she is great at interviews. She has a podcast where she's great at interviewing. I think she's got the smarts and the perspective that could maybe be.
It's a commitment, and it's a long haul because it's a lot of work, you know.
Yeah.
He only did it for 16 years, which actually isn't that long. You think it's longer, but it wasn't. But I get to see the grind is just 5 days a week and doing it all the time, and then just being on top of stuff, having to answer, you know, whatever the latest fire is of the day, you know, you have to prepare for that.
Yeah.
And who's got the skill to do that?
Yeah.
Who wants to do that and that's smart enough that, and that's also has a high visible rating that we can see them? I don't know anybody like, you know, you see crazy names like Tina Fey or Chris Rock, but they don't want to do that.
Tina Fey would be great at it. She's not going to do it.
They don't want to put that. That's a lot of work.
She's above that perspective.
A lot of work.
Joel McHale as well.
I saw Joel McHale too, but the thing is, I think you need someone who's got producer skills as well.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And that's why I think Aisha Tyler, because she puts her podcast together every week.
That'd
but that's she
that's,
schedules everything.
That's,
you know,
but she doesn't have a team of people that that show has a lot
of
people.
She can build an army.
She's on The Soup. She runs The Soup. I mean, she's on Whose Line? She runs Whose Line?
Oh my
she's
God.
Got,
she could have Colin Mockery be a correspondent.
That would be the best thing ever, actually.
Oh man, I'd love that.
Well,
I think Aisha Tyler is the one I'm pulling for, and I saw Patton Oswalt give her the nod.
Yeah, okay. That'd make. I saw him on the list. I
people
was like,
suggested about Oswald. He'd never do it. He would never do it. He's bigger than that. People
just want
Louis
to do
CK.
It.
Why on earth would Louis?
They
CK
don't
want to
do it.
Show?
It's a lot of work. Yeah. They don't want to do it every day.
Most of the really great names are people who are like, why on earth would they do this?
You know,
why did John Stewart do this for a long time?
Yeah, well, you know, who would have been interesting doing it, honestly, but or who would be like Howard Stern if he if he was Howard really seriously, Stern. It'd be interesting.
That is my nightmare.
I'm just saying, I haven't listened to him in a while, but
nuts,
he's crazy. He's been doing the same shit for 30 years now.
I don't.
But who's like
know.
That? Mark Maron?
Mark Maron, apparently Stewart and Maron do not get along, and Stewart will certainly have a say in his replacement,
of course.
So that probably means
so
no
Mark.
No go.
So Aisha Taylor would be good if just because, I mean, you've got, you don't have any women, she'd be great. You knock
well,
it out.
Well, that's the downside, though, is that then Comedy Central has a black woman and a black man.
Oh, that's the downside. That's
well,
the downside.
From their point of view, it's going to be.
Well.
You know that they're not going to take that risk.
I don't know.
I would love it.
Why
though.
Not?
Because they may see that as alienating their white college audience.
I don't know though.
I
Key and Peele, Key and Peele. You still got Broad City. You got a lot
of
stuff
on
there.
You think we've moved to that point where we're ready for it? Because I would love it.
I think so.
Great.
If also for all the Archer fans and everybody, and if she and she's everywhere kind of now as it is. So why not?
She's my pick.
I love
some
her
other
too.
Dark horses, but,
and
but
she's not.
She's absolutely my pick.
And she's not a bad looking woman. That doesn't hurt.
Well, I think she'd be great.
Yeah. So.
She's pretty. It's true.
Yeah.
So the TV dudes, we also, along with Patton Oswalt,
We endorse Aisha.
I'm the biggest hypocrite in 2015. Once I finish this, witnesses will convey just what I mean. I mean, it's evident that I'm irrelevant to society. That's what you're telling me. Penitentiary would only hire me. Curse me till I'm dead. Church me with your fake prophesizing that I'ma be just another slave in my head. Institutionalized manipulation and lies. Reciprocation of freedom only live in your eyes. You hate me, don't you? I know you hate me just as much as you hate yourself. Jealous of my wisdom and cards I dealt. Watching me as I pull up, fill up my tank, then peel out. Muscle cars like pull-ups, show you what these big wheels about. Black and successful, this black man meant to be special. Cat scans on my radar, bitch, how can I help you? How can I tell you I'm making a killing? You made me a killer, emancipation of a real nigga.
Should we just say spoilers right now?
We're going to hit some spoilers, everyone.
Slipping to spoilers.
And we're going to talk about Better Call Saul. We're going to talk about Walking Dead. And then we're going to follow it up with The Man in the High Castle from Amazon.
Yep.
So starting off, though, Better Call Saul.
I believe I might have said one or two times that I was nervous about this show.
You were very nervous about the show.
I did not think it was going to be good in any way.
I still think, rightfully so, you were nervous. Everyone was nervous.
Yeah.
It's falling on the heels and they did. Am I wrong? They did try and say this was going to be a bit more of a comedy, right?
Yeah,
a lighter tone.
Did, I think they changed their mind.
A lighter tone.
It definitely has a lighter tone.
It does have a lighter tone, but it's not. It's a drama.
It's a drama, and it's got heavy moments too.
And man, I fell instantly in love with this show. That 5-minute opening that was his when it panned up to the Cinnabon, and I'm like. What is going on?
Yeah.
And then I remembered.
Well, I knew
and I
that.
I caught on what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I just busted out laughing. I was like, that's fucking amazing.
Well, you know what it...
Yeah.
What it is for me is that Vince Gilligan has a... They have a style of shooting his show that's always been really, really unique.
Yeah.
And I like that style.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the montages, the letting the visual tell the story without the characters or, you know, like...
No dialogue.
No dialogue. Even after that... The first courtroom scene where you know you're waiting for him to come in.
Yeah, you know what you're waiting for, but there's no dialogue.
But it's so long, and you're just you hear the pencils tap, and you hear all that stuff.
Really
I loved
takes
it.
Takes his time,
but it was great.
Yeah,
but,
there was definitely a little bit of that swagger, a little bit of that. Well, we've earned our time, and we're going to take our time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a little bit more problem with the first episode than the second because we had two episodes back to back night to night. If you guys haven't seen it,
I've seen that. That seems to be pretty common. People saying that they said the second episode was much better than the first.
Well, and I say that only partially because I think that the first part of the episode was very slow, and I think that's kind of bold. For it's their premiere.
Yeah.
Like, come on! I thought they could have cut it down to 45-minute episode.
I love they took their time.
I really just think if you're plugged into that world, you just know what to expect.
Yeah.
So it didn't surprise me, and I trust what they're doing with it. And I just I mean, I
that
knew
was slower than most anything Breaking Bad does too, though.
Yeah, yeah. But well, again, you got to go back to initially. You know, the first time you saw it. Not, I mean, it's hard to kind of get revisionist. But when you go back to the first time you see it, right. It wasn't the fastest moving shows. This was it was interesting.
But it did open with that really shocking him by the side of the road recording his confession.
Yeah,
they did. This was not a slam bang opener. This was a slam bang opener. If you knew what was going on,
and
you had that same tension that he did, that you thought that guy might be coming to whack him.
Yeah.
Which I would think most of the people who are watching the show understood. I would think. I mean, you knew it was kind of it was from that world. You knew that it's going to look back, but you had to see where he was at, where Saul was at.
Did you guys think that maybe they were going to kill him?
No.
I almost thought the guy was going to kill him, and they were going to be like, that was the end. Here's the beginning.
No,
I thought they might.
I didn't think
it's all. It's worse that he wasn't though, because the nice thing about that opener is that's his every day.
Yeah.
You know that every day he goes to this job. He hates doing it. Somebody makes him nervous that he's going to get killed.
Right.
And he goes home and has to sit in his past glory. And that's all he can do.
Yeah.
And it was beautifully shot.
Here's my other issue with this.
Yep.
I feel like they are already like so desperate to do a callback to Breaking Bad by having two different characters that were in Breaking Bad, Mike in the toll booth, and then showing Tuco at the end of the episode.
See, I disagree. I actually think Tuco was a character who never really got his due because the actor had to go do something else.
Right.
So he got killed off sort of earlier than planned.
Yeah.
And so I think getting to go back and revisit and do a little more with him was great. And I also think that using Mike that way, to see Mike at his lowest point, because as a prequel series, when we start, Mike is working for Saul.
So we
need to see that relationship built up. I assume we're going to see Gus at some point.
Yeah,
you know, because he's the guy who puts Heisenberg in touch with Gus.
Right.
So we have to see that build up. So I figure like that's within bounds. If he happened to run into, say, Betsy at a store or something, that would have been too far.
And you know what? And actually, I think hopefully that's where the series ends. Like, you had the last episodes, the cameo is like kind of leads into where there's a talk about Walt. And then, boom, end it.
I mean, for the story, it's fine.
Yeah.
But for the audience, it felt a little bit desperate.
I don't know. And
clearly, they didn't need to because their numbers were huge coming off of Walking Dead.
I actually didn't think it was desperate. I loved it. I thought it was a great callback, and also it very quickly illustrates the difference between what kind of show this is going to be than Breaking Bad, because we saw how Walt dealt with Tuco.
Right.
And we see how Saul deals with Tuco.
Right.
Jimmy deals with Tuco.
Right.
And it's completely different.
Yeah. But yeah.
It let us see that, I mean, we get to see that this is what Jimmy's gift was.
Right.
Walt's gift was science and intelligence and all that kind of stuff. Jimmy's gift is talking. You let him get talking,
man,
and
you
talk his way
lot.
Out just about anything.
What did he say? That was a great line. Man, you talk a lot.
You got a mouth on you.
Yeah, man, you got a mouth on you.
Yeah.
And he's a bargainer. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I would say I was watching it with Helene, and she, you know, she was kind of like, this is okay. But then as soon as Tuco came in, she was, when she saw Mike, she was like, you know, Mike. And so I think for like Helene, who liked Breaking Bad, but, you know, wasn't like gaga over it, but seeing familiar characters tied her more into it. And plus, Bob Odenkirk,
feel like it's just trapped in their shadow.
It didn't need it?
I don't think they need it. I thought they could have brought Tuco in midway through and that'd been fine.
I think you're right.
It could have been the other guy. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right that they didn't need it.
Like, that guy works with Tuco.
Right.
But I think two things. One is that I don't think it hurts them to have done it. I didn't feel like it was desperate grabbing. I just thought it was a hedging their bets kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, they didn't know they didn't need it.
True.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree. Yeah.
You got to give them a little credit for, well, let's make sure we hook the Breaking Bad audience because we don't know if we're going to get any other audience. But Michael McKean is great as
he's
somewhat crazy brother.
Do you think he's just got a phobia?
I think he's got a phobia. I think he's gone crazy.
I was like, what medical condition?
Well, he's had a break.
It's a thing.
It's
actually a thing. If you look up, it's called electromagnetic sensitivity.
Yeah.
And there are arguments about whether it's real or not. And so that's the thing, is that it could be that it could be a real thing, or it could be he's crazy. I thought him going to the law firm was really interesting. So we got that sense of
That network speech was great.
Yeah.
I loved that with the big board.
And I loved the montage where he decided to go back to being a public defender.
Yeah.
And you saw this big cut sequence speech that was like 8 different speeches, right, and it was just popping into, so it was basically one long speech. I loved that.
When in the first episode, when it kicks over into Slip and Jimmy and yeah, his plan for the Napoleon Dynamite twins,
yeah,
yeah,
who are annoying.
Oh, I love those guys.
They're so annoying.
Well, I'm glad you got to see them punished.
Yeah,
yeah, but, I did. I was like, oh, at least their legs get broken. But
but I did. I but
when dynamic, I was just.
But
like,
that I right jumped away out of my seat. Sorry, I jumped out of my seat when he hit the windshield.
That
it was
so long.
That
was great because we're all conditioned to expect that. Yeah. I was expecting something. Because
something,
you don't,
yeah,
you don't shoot from behind the car window without, right, something happening.
Right.
But they took so long.
Yeah,
like,
you
kind of, oh,
got
they're
comfortable
just,
they're
just
with
doing it.
It.
Yeah. And then they hit. Yeah.
Damn.
But well, once he kind of gets his scam in yeah, place and get going, yeah, in the first episode, that was great.
Yeah.
I loved it, and yeah, and I like seeing how that's going to kind of carry through,
right,
for him just getting into the shadier business and him breaking that, I guess, as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. I really loved – I love that they were basically confident enough to go ahead and take their time to shoot this sort of deliberately,
mm-hmm,
and I do think that probably they did hedge their bets a little bit by having Tuco and Mike in there, but I can't fault them for it, and I like what they did with both of them, so – I was
me
really,
too,
really happy with this, and I can't wait. Now, unfortunately, the first episode was directed by Vince Gilligan, the second episode by Michelle MacLaren.
Uh-huh.
There's no way they're going to be able to direct all the episodes. So the question is, can they keep up visually where they started? And I hope they can.
I think they still have that Rolodex of great directors.
Yeah, they've got a deep bench.
They all want to work. It would be great. And Bob Oldenkirk, he's so good.
He was great.
I mean, he...
Yeah.
He was good, and I was a little worried that... like how far he could carry the Jimmy / Saul stick.
Yeah.
But he's got like that fear, that confidence. He's made him really multi-dimensional. And
yeah,
I attribute that to him. And I'm like, so I want to see what happens to Jimmy. I want to see how Jimmy turns into Saul. I really, that's the main hook, because I really want to see what he does with his character. And I just love the whole Schenectady or Cicero
yeah,
or Chicago.
Like
I love
looks
that.
Even older as young
yeah,
Jimmy.
That is kind of funny.
Well, there's only so much you can do.
He's not just a huckster. And that's the key thing is that you've got the sense that he does, right at this point in his career, wants to do good.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want to just be the huckster. We know that where that goes, but it's interesting. And he's got more depth than you might have guessed from a comedic actor.
Yeah.
Well, Randy, speaking of segues, which we didn't mention, we're going to go over to Walking Dead.
Oh, man, Walking Dead was such a come down for me.
All right, this is interesting.
I'm on a different side than you.
I know you are.
Yeah, because I didn't understand why you didn't like it. I loved it.
Did you?
I loved it because... I'm in the can for Chad Coleman, okay? Obviously.
Yeah.
But,
me too.
It's just such grace, and I thought he did. I thought the whole thing with him was done gracefully. And as he's trying to work, as he's like, he's bit, he's dying. He's trying to convince. They had this hope with going to whatever that dude's what he thought, the estates that they thought were not overrun,
right?
And then when that guy is broken, he's got to try to pick him up and try to try to give him the pep talk, They go to the house. He gets bit with him, and then he's got to deal because he's by himself, and he's got to deal with all of that. And I just like the way it's the first time I think I've seen in Walking Dead that they show a guy, somebody got bit. They're not turning yet. There's not a bunch of people. But what's it like mentally that you've done all this stuff trying to survive?
What's that struggle of a good guy who has to kind of accept that he's dying and he's going through that turmoil?
Yeah,
from his perspective.
And I like that. And at first, the flashbacks kind of got on my... I was like, oh, but then, I don't know, something about what they were saying, something about just kind of seeing some of the characters. I'm like, okay, I can live with this.
See,
but
I found
it
cheesy.
Okay.
But I was also pre-programmed to not like it at that point because the thing I hate about Walking Dead early on was that everybody was stupid.
Right.
And stupid things happened and people died for no reason. And they kept killing off all their good characters while the people I hated lived forever.
Right.
And I thought they'd finally turn that corner. Then Noah acts like a complete idiot and gets Tyrese, one of my favorite characters, killed.
Right.
And I was
so
like...
So do you not like what the characters did, or do you not like the writing of the plot?
I didn't like the writing. I thought it was a clumsy way to get there.
Okay.
I thought that having Noah flip out made a certain amount of sense. Having him being able to get away on one leg from Tyrese who's in better condition didn't make a lot of sense. And then having Tyrese bitten was a big surprise. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
But having him get bit because he wasn't careful enough to clear the room, they should be better about this at this point.
I agree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it's... Well, the idea is that they're constantly encountering this, and we see and the highlights and lowlights.
The fatigue. And lowlights. I think that's what what's interesting is I'm looking at it from a bigger picture, thinking these guys, because they all talked about it. They're all fatigued.
I think the thing is, I wish I'd felt that more. I didn't quite get it. I felt like I didn't think basically all I saw was Noah runs away because he's freaking out. And he gets Tyrese killed. And now we have Noah on the show and not Tyrese. And we have Father, whatever his name is, not Tyrese. And I'm like, you guys have just taken off one of your strongest players. And you have left us with two weaker actors.
I like the way that he just, I mean, they tried saving him. And it's almost like that weird, it was actually really weird. It reminded me of the end of Man on Fire. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, I haven't seen
where he's in the car, when Denzel's in the car after he does the trade-off with the girl, and he's shot, and nobody really, and you don't really know. He's just kind of in the car, and he just slips away in the car.
I think we're probably all right on
10
that.
Years, ten, movie's
yeah,
10
kidding,
years old.
I'm kidding.
But that whole kind of like, you kind of have that moment when you're trying to go to sleep sometimes. You're like, I'm going to try to stay up, and you try to stay up, and you slip, but then something tells you to go to sleep. I mean, I would hate to be in that moment when you're dying, but you know, when he's trying to like, you hold on and like, it's okay, just go. And I just thought it was like kind of touching.
I was not 100% sold on the device. I thought that the use of the flashbacks was kind of cheesy and not great, but I also just, I don't like what it does structurally to the show. And I also thought the best thing about the Walking Dead this last half season was that despite the fact that it's this grim apocalyptic show, they had a bit of lightness. They had a bit of a touch of, you know, characters. There was a reason for people to want to survive.
Yeah.
And now we're right back into the everything sucks, everything is awful, let's all die.
It's one episode. Right. And what I would say about this episode is this deviated from what we've now taken as the norm for the show. And I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that. Yeah. And I saw this as a one-off right from the start, because this is directed by Greg Nicotero. Mm-hmm. And the intro, it starts doing really experimental stuff with the flicker the kind of eerie montage sequence.
Yeah.
So I already was kind of taking this as a different style for the episode. But one of my bigger gripes with The Walking Dead is I feel like they poorly handle the emotional weight of someone dying. And I agree with you, Randy, that it's kind of corny, him talking to the dead people, and they're like, just let go, or whatever. And some of the montage stuff is a little corny, but I thought they took the weight of it, and they took their time, surprisingly, to kind of really build up with a character that they know everyone loves.
Yeah.
And to kind of give, like, good service, I thought, to Chad Coltman and his death scene, and to give more emotional impact to it. I guess I was like, wow, really impressed by it.
Part of my issue is, I think, AMC. Hmm. Because this should not... You say this is a one-off, and you're right. It is probably... Stylistically, though, this is the season premiere.
Yeah.
You don't come in with a one-off.
It's a mid-season premiere.
But it is... Right. Basically, they had built up all this stuff with Tyrese, all the backstory of him and whether or not he was a good man, you could be a good man in this world and all this. This is the answer to all of those questions they asked several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
This should have been the end of the last season, the mid-season, instead of the beginning of the new season. I think the timing is suspect.
I mean, I think
use a mid-season premiere to establish the tone of the rest of the story.
We knew it was manipulative. They already admitted that they wanted to have a back-to-back so that there wasn't this sense of safety of the characters, which is a bit manipulative.
I mean, I think what I like about it is that it was internal. Like, none of the other characters... None of the other characters knew how deeply he thought about all this stuff and his real serious back. I mean, except
his sister
Sasha,
who would be interesting to know if she. I mean, they were together, so whatever the shit he had to go through. I'm assuming she kind of went through too. I don't know, but they
weren't real specific about what exactly they went through either.
Right. So I kind of like that. Whatever it is, he was going through it, and I think for me, it's like a symbol that eventually because I mean, it just makes sense that everyone is going to have to face that one day. You know, it, you know, whether in real life or just in this show, that Rick's going to have to face some of this stuff one day. So is his kid. Yeah. So, and sooner or later, they're going to get tired and they're going to slip up. And that's what they always say. And yeah, it's, and I think showing that it can happen at any time, but in giving it the respect, I don't know, it brought me into, I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah. And I want to see more of that. I'm interested to see how they're going to handle some of the other ones that have to come up eventually, or if the actors get tired or whatever, yeah, they in the contract, you know, all that kind of shit, you know. But I'm interested in seeing it.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, the thing is, I'm a Game of Thrones fan.
Oh,
I am,
yeah,
okay
too,
with the notion of people not being safe. Yeah, I'm okay with, yeah, you killing off,
yeah,
whoever.
Yeah.
I just thought this was clumsily done.
Yeah.
Here's one more argument in your favor.
Right.
What I had a problem with, mm-hmm, is that for the past, I don't know, 8 episodes, yeah, with him, what's, uh-huh, his character's name again?
Tyrese.
They have been showing his struggle and his reluctance with violence.
Yeah.
And him trying, and it seemed like they were kind of building back up to, like, he was going to have to embrace that this is part of his new reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And that we were going to get to see him as the true warrior that we kind of fell in love with initially.
Right.
That he was this warrior badass. And then we don't get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like all that investment in that sort of story arc, and that didn't happen. It kind of makes me curious, like, why they decided to drop that.
The other flip side, by the way, the one thing I did think was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
They started to do cool moments in this. Him using his already bitten arm to fend off the other walker.
Yeah,
that was a cool little moment.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a cool little moment. And I'm by no means done with the show. I've put through.
Right.
I've put up with way worse than an episode that I thought was a little weird.
Yes, right. You have.
But I've been very psyched about the show. They haven't misstepped for me yet this season.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this was a misstep.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
All right, our last show that we wanted to discuss, we're going to hold off on the two HBO shows. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, because I'm the only one who's watched all of them yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But we wanted to talk about The Man in the High Tower, which is
High Castle.
High Castle. High Tower from Police Academy, right?
Oh, wow. Nice reference.
This is a...
Amazon Prime pilot.
Pilot, yeah.
You can watch it for free.
Yeah.
And it's what, like an hour, 20
minutes? An hour.
It's an hour.
It's
longer, isn't it?
It's a little bit longer.
I thought it was like, I watched it one night when I couldn't get to sleep.
Okay.
So it was like an hour, because at 2 in the morning I was
watching. It's an adaptation of one of Philip K. Dick's most famous stories about the Nazis having won World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in what, the 60s basically?
60s, like 63, 62, 64.
Yeah.
62, yeah.
And I'm reading the book right now. I've never read the book. When
I'm going to get the book.
I love this. It's $2.99 on Amazon right now.
I'm going to get the book.
I heard that the pilot covers a lot of what's in the book.
From what I hear, they changed some stuff. And what I'm reading, I'm 3 or 4 chapters, 20% into the book. And I don't think I've met all the characters who are in the show yet.
Okay. So, interesting.
But yeah, the show, it does. First of all, the production was great.
Yeah.
They did a lot. Doubling San Francisco Chinatown so they could get the Japanese stuff in there was very clever. Worked really well.
Yeah.
I don't know if the New York stuff was shot in Vancouver or where it was shot, but it looked really good. They did a really interesting... I love the map that they showed where they show Nazi is most of America and then the Japanese sort of West Coast and then the...
It was a great little intro.
It was a great intro.
I love stuff like that. The alternate realities based on what if, like real stuff, what ifs, you know?
Well, the great thing is, despite the fact that this is a really famous... I mean, it's a famous notion, the notion of the Nazis won World War II and what do you do? But it's also a famous novel by Philip K. Dick that I don't know the ending of.
I don't know
what's going to happen. I have no idea.
And for the pilot episode, it was a pretty good, great twist at the end.
Yeah.
That I wasn't expecting.
Did you see that coming?
No.
I didn't. Once
it was revealed, I was like, oh, duh.
I thought they were revealing it when the raid happened.
Yeah.
And he aimed the gun at the guy.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, he's the guy who brought down the raid.
Right. Yeah.
And then they didn't. And I'm like, oh, fake out.
Right.
And that was really smart because then I'd written that out of my head.
Me too.
Yeah. Immediately, I'm like, oh, if he shot that guy, I mean, clearly he's really in it.
Right.
So that was a really clever bit of storytelling. And
very
I don't
good.
Think that's in the book. I believe that is original to the show.
I like that. I cannot get over the notion of the Nazis taking over the East Coast. And then that parallel with the Japanese and the West Coast, and also this film.
I mean,
because the whole idea is that they've got this film that shows an alternative reality of what
and,
really of
and
what,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, and that's the confusing part. I'm like, so they're going to try to get this smuggle this film, and this film's going to start a revolution.
Well,
or something?
It's more than that. It's clear because it's got to be the man in the high castle refers to whoever makes those movies,
right?
And that's a person who clearly must be someone from another reality or something.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
And that's what's intriguing. It's like, how are they? I mean, like it was said with that movie Fatherland that was on HBO a while back.
Yeah.
It's just it was like the Nazis won. There was a stalemate because Nazis didn't own America. They owned most of Europe, and then they were trying to do a treaty with America, and that's but they had the Holocaust, blah blah blah, and then you know they found out, and then everything fell apart. But this, how everything, or if stuff falls apart, I'm interested in that. Plus, I love the intrigue, and of course, this makes sense. I don't know why you don't think about it. Like, if you got a divided land of America, you don't think Japan wants more, or you don't think Germany wants more. So them battling against each other with the setup of the spies and like you're really coming in because you know Hitler's dying. So
that was great, by the way. The notion that Hitler actually sort of held things together.
Yeah,
that basically
which is
creepy. When he dies, things are going to get worse. Yeah, that is the craziest thing.
Which is terrible.
There's also I like seeing in the background the scientific advancement.
Yeah. The big rocket plane.
The silent train.
Yeah.
That's going through the city. The even like the little phone booth that they get.
Well, because they're perfectly good with using slave labor and human experimentation.
Yeah.
Well, and it's amazing because it's funny. That's why the Germans still have really nice roads compared to us, and and the Japanese have bullet trains, and we don't. You know, all that war industry. But yeah, I love that. I mean, it's like this show not only the political premise. I think the acting's really good. I don't know any of the actors.
The only actor I know is Rufus Sewell.
Is that the one
who plays Oppenfuhrer Smith?
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
As sort of a Christoph Waltz-esque bad guy. You know, like Men in Glorious Bastards type.
Yeah.
I wasn't bowled over by the performances. I thought the performances they were okay.
They were all solid.
I thought they were solid. I thought the kid, the main guy,
the kid.
Yeah.
Joe Blake.
I thought he was okay.
Luke Kleintank.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was okay.
I think him, I was kind of like,
I thought he wouldn't call on do a lot.
Just average Joe.
I thought the moment with him and the truck driver and the cop who pulls him over
was
really good because I thought he was going to have to kill that cop.
Yeah.
And there was some great tension there.
But that,
I also thought Alexa Davalos as Juliana Crane.
Yeah.
I thought she was really good.
Yeah.
To be fair, they weren't given that much to do.
Yeah. I guess.
Because you have to get inside this world.
It felt kind of basic. Yeah. I think there was the argument between her and her boyfriend before she left San Francisco that I was just kind of like...
Little CW.
Yeah, it felt a little acting school.
I guess what I'd say is nobody's turning in a Bryan Cranston-level performance or anything.
No.
But everything's solid enough.
It's solid enough, and I think you kind of have to wrap your head around this and really understand, okay, this is why this is happening in this alternative reality. And maybe because I'm so enthralled by it that I'm like, okay, I can let a little dime store acting go.
Yeah.
Because I just want to see the sets. I want to see, you know, all that stuff. But I definitely am going to read the book. I definitely want to see
more. I'm very excited to see
more. It's got to get picked up. God, I hope it gets picked up.
This is a nitpicky thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't really quite put my finger on it. But
overall, you liked it though, right?
I did. I really liked it. There's something about it that it just seems like, it's an Amazon show. It's an Amazon budget, which
sure.
I kind of lump in with USA. And I even think like, man, they did some stuff that looks really impressive on there. But...
Well, I mean,
maybe it's like the film they shoot on or something that's like maybe their trademark, but it just
it
has a look that feels still a little cheap.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm actually
maybe they
surprised.
Don't have that final pre-production maybe gloss. So.
Maybe, yeah. I'm actually really surprised.
I actually thought it looked pretty good.
So did I. And I mean, I was watching it on my phone, laying in bed late at night. And it looked really great. Maybe I need to see. Maybe I saw it on a bigger screen. Maybe I might have some more.
I watched it on my laptop. I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe I'd have some nitpicking stuff about the shots. But I thought it was really. I was actually surprised it was that good. Really, like the quality. I actually thought. I mean, and I think with all their shows and Even their pilots, I never thought their pilots looked cheap, honestly.
No, all their pilots have looked good. It's just they haven't always won me over.
Right.
But this one I'm very excited to see more of. This,
yeah, me
of
too.
The batch. I mean, I liked Mad Dogs, but if I had to choose between the two, and I don't because they're going to make both, but if right. I did, I'd choose Man in the High Castle.
And they're not going to make that one in Paris, which I liked.
I haven't seen that one.
You didn't see the one about the Americans in Paris?
No.
Oh, you'd like that. It's good.
Yeah, I just haven't had time to watch all that stuff. My DVR is at 70%.
Well, wait, you don't DVR your Amazon Prime. You keep it on there.
Well, all right, guys. Looks like we have a bit more TV we have to get back to watching. But thank you guys for checking out the show. Thank you, Randy and Greg.
Thanks, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
Listeners, please go give us that iTunes 5-star rating review. Helps out the show. Like us on Facebook and on Twitter so you can ask us questions for next week. And put your comments about the episode in the, on the site below.
The comment hole.
Yeah, in the comment hole. Put it in the comment hole. All right, guys. Until next week.
TV Dudes out.